Sarah Townsend is a marketing copywriter and joins me today. So welcome.
Hi.
It's lovely to have you on board. Thanks for your time.
Good to be here.
Right, let's talk first about what a marketing copywriter does.
Okay, well, basically marketing copywriting is quite different to normal writing. So being good at English, kind of perhaps being better at the grammar side of things and being better at telling stories. But marketing copywriting is all about selling. So it's whatever your client's product or service is, it's explaining that in a way that really appeals to their client base. And ideally, making their clients pick up the phone, book an appointment, or buy more of their products, or whatever it is. So finding the things that make your clients' businesses stand out from the crowd, that's really important. Asking the right questions to find out what makes the client's business different, and coming up with differentiators, and basically writing those in a compelling way that makes people take action.
Excellent. Well, that's probably as concise as you can get it, really, isn't it? What drew you to it in the first place?
Well, part of this is covered in the book, because the way I got into marketing is quite roundabout. I sort of fell into it. I don't have a degree. I didn't go to uni. And I started off working in financial services, fell into financial services marketing after a couple of years, and then ended up working for a publishing agency down in Bristol. And about 3 years later, got pregnant with my first child, my daughter. And at the time, I was working in Bristol and living in Gloucester, and I didn't want to do the commute with a small baby down in nursery back here, back home. So I decided to start working for myself so that I could work around having a young baby. She started off going to nursery a couple of days a week, and I built up my business very gradually as my children got older. And then when they were both at secondary school, was very much working full time. And it sort of built from there, really.
It's amazing how these things come about, isn't it? As you say, you sort of fell into it. I sort of fell into it in a way, but I did it because I left mainstream, you know, employment, and then went self-employed for the same, not the same reason. I was going to be writing, but it was going to be in a very different way. But the first year really shaped it. It really evolved in that first year into something else. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think when you start out, you don't necessarily, well, I personally, I can only speak for myself, I guess, but I didn't really think 20 years from now I'm still going to be doing the same thing. I'm not really someone who, I don't visualise goals very easily, so I tend not to be very goal-oriented. I tend to be very focused and almost to the point of obsession about what I'm currently working on at any particular time. So I never kind of started off my freelance career thinking, well, you know, maybe I'll start off just doing a bit of proofreading and some editing, and then kind of maybe I'll develop and I'll become a copywriter. It just evolved and just happened over the years. 20 years later, it's great. I love it.
Excellent. Well, it's great that you found something that you really enjoy. I mean, not many people can say that, can they?
No.
Before you became a freelancer, what did you expect it to be like, and how is it different?
Yeah, that is such a good question.
Thank you.
What did I expect it to be like? I mean, I think there's always a bit of an image around freelancing of kind of working in pyjamas. I think that's a really bad image that some people are kind of like, oh yeah, you just, you know, it's inverted commas, working from home. They see that as a bit of a skive in some way and don't actually realise that it's a legitimate business and that your income is still responsible for paying your mortgage or your rent every month. So it's a serious job and always was, even when I was working part-time. So I think I wasn't sure how quickly I would get clients. I always focused very much on kind of making the most of, I was going to say exploiting, the contacts that I already had. And I think people underestimate the importance of doing that. It's vital to, because it's all about who you know, and it's all about, ultimately, you can be brilliant at your job, but if you're not good with people, that's a fundamental problem. You need to at least pretend to to be outgoing during the times when you are with other people, because it's all about know, like, and trust that we kind of hear in terms of marketing. It's all about who you know, getting people to just find out more about who you are, what you do, but just really building a connection with those people. And I don't usually, when I meet people, I'm going a bit off piste here.
That's fine, that's not a problem.
But when I meet someone new, I'm usually more interested in their business and what they offer. I'm not a big fan of kind of talking one-to-one. Oh, hey, you know, let's make it all about me. I know I'm doing that now, but you're interviewing me.
It's justified.
That's kind of the idea. But generally speaking, I prefer to ask questions of them and find out about their businesses. I don't like going hard sell. And I think a lot of people who work for themselves do think, I've got to, you know, try and persuade people to buy from me. I've never done that. I've gone down the route of just getting to know as many people as I can through social media, through networking, although I didn't network until I was 15 years down the line in my business. So I was like, I had a kind of morbid fear of the idea of networking. I think, what was the original question?
Before you became a freelancer, what did you expect and how has it differed?
Yeah.
I think you probably answered it.
I think a lot of that stems from the fact that I've been doing it for 20 years. It's actually quite difficult to remember what I expected it to be like. I knew it would be challenging in terms of building it up to begin with, and it was, and it is. Having the freedom to begin with when my kids were little was so, so important to me. I wanted to be able to go to every nativity play and every school event and help out at school. That was really important. And having that balance, being able to have that balance, has been a constant. A lot of people who work for themselves maybe their boundaries are a bit shady, let's say. I have people saying, oh, I work every evening, I work every weekend. Well, yeah, I can understand when you first start out, you do need to do a little bit of that, but don't let it impact your life, because ultimately you are working for yourself. It's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah.
If you end up just being a slave to your clients, you're kind of missing the point. And yeah, I also get that it's easy for me to say that because I've been doing it for a long time. I earn good money. I'm in a really fortunate position. And not a day goes by that I don't count my lucky stars, that I'm where I am now. But just, I would say, make sure that you have boundaries and take time for yourself, because it's the fast train to burnout. If you don't, if it's so easy to work yourself into the ground and put your clients first. And obviously when you're working on client work, you have to put your clients first, and you always do, but you can't do that if you don't have the energy to take care of yourself. So well-being is really, really important.
Yeah, I think also nowadays people know that as well. They realise well-being is still an important thing, rather than just, you know, putting that to one side. Mental health is just such an important thing. You've got to keep hold of all of those things.
Yourself.
So what's your top tip to an experienced freelancer who feels they're falling behind?
Yeah, you're very good with the questions.
Thank you. I do try.
Top tip to an experienced freelancer. I would say I think it's so important to have the connections. I can't stress that enough. I think feel can be kind of part of your tribe, as it were.
So reconnect, yeah. Right. Tell me about the book you've been writing.
I had this idea of writing a blog post to share all my experience in a blog, and I just couldn't do it, and I was kind of paralysed by thinking, how do I do that? How do I fit it all into a blog? And it took me 2 years to actually write and publish that post, and it's the post that has kind of sparked the idea for the book, and it got such a great response on LinkedIn. It was far and away my most popular post. People who are new to the game were saying this has given me so much confidence. People who have been freelancing for 10 years were saying, oh, I wish I'd known this when I started out. It would have made my journey so much more straightforward. There's so much gold in here. I'm going to keep referring back to this post. And I was kind of blown away, really, by how much the honesty in the post, because it's very hard to receive. It's a lot about the reality. It's not like, hey, it's great, come and be a freelancer, you're going to make loads of money and you're going to have, you know, loads of time to yourself. It's very much focused on the reality. It just became apparent that I got to this 20-year point and I suddenly got this strong sense of wanting to give something back, because having a freelance career had worked really well for me and I just wanted to encourage other people. So for me, writing a book is not about money. I've absolutely no idea, with my whole kind of lack of planning brain and lack of goal setting, I have no idea how much money I'm going to make for it. It's not from it. It's not about that. It's about wanting to spread the word and get my advice out to as many people as I can possibly help. And I think this is the right medium for the job.
Well, here's a question you probably didn't think I was going to ask you. Legacy for me is I haven't realised this, but over the years I've realised it's a massive big deal. Once I've gone, you know, what footprint will I have left for future generations to look back? My books are my legacy, and I will continue to do that. Do you think then that your book will be yours?
Yeah, I always wanted to be a good role model for my kids because I've been a single mum for 12 years. I just wanted to kind of show them that you don't have to work for someone else to make a success of your life. You don't have to have a boss. Personally, I found it really helped to go down that route as kind of a channel to becoming a freelancer. And even the very, very first jobs that I had, just kind of doing admin work, was such a good foundation, learning to provide good customer service and learning how to use a computer. And all the kind of the real basics were really helpful. But yeah, I think wanting to make my kids proud, they've both kind of been my alpha readers.
Thank you.
And it's family.
What's it called?
It's called Survival Skills for Freelancers, /, or How to Go Solo Without Going Loco, /. And the reason being, I never wanted it to be a serious business book. I want it to be something that people enjoy reading. That's always been a really big goal for me. I am starting off by picking the brains of pretty much everybody I know who is a self-published author. And I'm picking their brains, getting all their advice, and then I'm going to give them a project in the book, obviously. But it's all about calling on community, isn't it? And that is very much a thread that runs through the book, bursting with ideas and enthusiasm for it at the moment.
I think that kind of excitement is so, so useful, though, because I've published 10 books, fiction and non-fiction, and about 8 of them have been self-published. One was an NHS commission and one was something else. So when you look at the excitement just before it happens, you can't contain yourself. It's like an explosion within you. But, you know, people get to see from you how excited you are, so that feeds into them, so they get excited. Thank you so much for your time today. Do you have a website that people can find out more about you?
I do indeed. It is sarahtownsendeditorial.co.uk.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me today. It's really, really good to meet you.
It's been great to chat. Thank you.